think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzel with my colleague and friend Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. And we welcome our colleague and friend Richard Goldberg of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies to solve a headline in the Wall Street Journal that leaves me deeply puzzled. It reads, U.S. bans 14 Iraqi banks in crackdown on Iran dollar trade. The explanation is that the U.S. has barred 14 Iraqi banks from conducting dollar sanctions transactions, U.S. officials said, part of a sweeping crackdown on the, this is the important part, siphoning of U.S. currency to Iran and other sanctioned Middle East countries. Rich, a very good evening to you. I'm glad you're here. What the heck is going on? I don't understand this paragraph.
Good evening to you as well. Well, remember, this announcement came just hours after we learned of a new waiver that the Biden administration had issued for Iraq to start transferring money that has been kept in escrow in Baghdad for years and start making payments into an account outside of Iraqi borders. In Oman, we have now learned, where the U.S. will be the custodian of billions of dollars that belongs to Iran and start helping the Iranians pay bills out of that money. So that was already starting to create a lot of consternation, a lot of confusion. What is happening here? Are we suddenly opening the spigot for Iran as part of this understanding, quote unquote, that's still being negotiated through the Omanis? And then we have an announcement that there has been some sort of enforcement action taken by the Treasury Department against these 14 banks in Iraq. We're told they are low-level banks, not of major significance. And likely over time, evidence has come to light. We've obviously seen a pullback of enforcement of sanctions over the last year, especially 2 years more broadly towards violations of our sanctions. We've probably been monitoring all kinds of illicit transactions, not just in Iraq, but elsewhere. And so there is a target bank available to the Treasury Department to take various kinds of actions. This was a very convenient time to roll out an enforcement against 14 low-level banks for illicit use of dollar transactions in violation of U.S. sanctions. Notably, they're not sanctioned per se. They have an enforcement action against them that limits their access to the U.S. dollar and the U.S. financial system, but no imposition announcement on secondary sanctions. So still negotiating, as we've seen some follow-up reporting from Baghdad. These banks coming forward, the Iraqis saying we want to submit to an audit by the Treasury Department. We don't think you're right, et cetera. This is all very interesting, but it's a bit of a distraction because it's also like the United States saying to Iraq, you can't do your own illicit transactions with Iran. Only we can be the conductor of illicit transactions with Iran. And so whatever amount of money has been siphoned off of this money laundering scheme of these 14 banks by the IRGC likely pales in comparison to $10 billion or more being transferred into Oman for us to start facilitating payments on behalf of the Iranians.
Malcolm?
So do you sense that this is really about control, that they want to see the money go to humanitarian causes? Or is it about trying to get Iran back to the negotiating table? Do we not see that people who make the accusation that these very payments are violations of U.S. sanctions?
Yeah, I think that the administration is trying to trade money for some de-escalation, quote unquote, by the Iranians. So we've seen the reports in the New York Times, the Journal, some Israeli press reports that that list includes merely not moving up to 90% enriched uranium, which is the threshold for weapons grade uranium. They can stay at 60%, 20%, keep installing centrifuges, but they don't want them to go to weapons grade uranium production. They don't want to see the Iranians attacking U.S. military personnel in Syria and Iraq. They don't want to see the Iranians move from armed drones transfers to Russia to ballistic missile transfers to Russia when the sunset expires. Regarding the international missile embargo at the UN this October. And so they're looking to make sure that they send a signal to Tehran of we can crack down on illicit finance activities. We can enforce our sanctions anytime. But we are also going to be consolidating an incredible amount of money in a way that we can control, we can have oversight of, and we will be able to sell to the American people that this is truly for humanitarian purposes. Now, we know that that is a very wide swath of types of transactions. We know that all money is fungible, and you're essentially providing budget support to the Iranians to move money from here to there. You're solving an import crisis, a balance of payments crisis, all of that. And by the way, there's additional pots of money that we may see moved from other countries into this bank account in Oman. I'm thinking in particular $7 billion sitting in South Korea that they've been negotiating how to move that money to either Oman or Qatar as part of that larger hostage negotiation as well. So in the end, this is the administration buying into a strategy of we're going to pay the racket. We're going to offer money in exchange for some sort of avoidance of immediate crisis between now and next November, to avoid the political crisis, focus on Russia, Ukraine, focus on China, other issues of the day, and hoping that the Iranians respond by saying, okay, we'll hold off at least here at the status quo. We won't escalate further, but here's all the invoices and here's what we want to get paid.
It begins to sound like protection money, Rich. The question here is, does this avoid Congress and the questions Congress can raise by using the Treasury Department?
A, it absolutely avoids Congress. If this was considered an agreement or a deal, and you saw Secretary Blinken go on Fareed Zakaria on Sunday and specifically say we're not negotiating an agreement, but then talk about messages being sent to the Iranians about not escalating and how they want diplomacy and they want de-escalation. So this idea of an understanding where the U.S. is just taking unilateral steps to de-escalate and the Iranians just take commensurate steps to de-escalate is a way of trying to avoid the legal requirement to submit a deal to Congress under a law passed in 2015. B, it is absolutely a protection racket. It is a classic protection racket. That's all we are now entering in. The fig leaf of some nonproliferation policy is behind us. The administration has said, Secretary Blinken in that same interview said, yes, it's very concerning that Iran has all this enriched uranium. They could be producing more and more even fissile material. They could even go to 90%. But what would really be threatening is if they went to weaponization. So all the hullabaloo of, you know, a 1 year breakout timeline is the goal of the JCPOA, and we're focused on reducing their enriched uranium stockpile. That's out the window now. We're literally just paying them to sit at the nuclear threshold and hope nothing else goes bad. But I will point out one thing. We're also seeing a surge of U.S. forces into the region based on some unknown threat picture. Very concerning. It means that not only are we continuing to pursue this strategy of a protection racket, it's not working. There's something else being planned that's driving F-16s, F-35s, a Navy destroyer, an amphibious readiness group being sent into the Gulf in the last week and a half. What is that? We don't know yet. It's concerning. And so at some point, we have to understand that whether you offer to pay Iran money or you put the squeeze on Iran, Iran's going to try to hurt the United States. That's just a fact. And I would rather have Iran have less money than more money when they keep trying to hurt the United States.
Malcolm?
When we see that today, substantiating your last comment, that they announced this new stage of their ballistic missile system, the Khaibar, which will target the United States, Europe, Israel, I mean, just a general threat enhancement, shows that all the attempts to buy favor work in reverse. So is there another theme? Are they trying to make a prisoner deal? Is this a political motivation? Are the Europeans and others going along with this? To my mind, it seems that this just adds to their resentment that the U.S. is going off on its own, making deals with Iran.
This is classic Iranian negotiations. It's similar to North Korean negotiating style, where the minute there's an offer on the table and, you know, it seems like you might be honing in on something that's fair and reasonable and both parties, you know, think they're going to make some sort of exchange, that becomes the new opening offer. And now you find new hostages to pick up, new threats to emerge to raise your price, right? Because if the Americans are willing to do this, what if we take one more hostage, which reportedly has happened? Now they have four Americans reportedly, not just three. Now the price has gone up. Now we don't just want the $7 billion in South Korea. We want something else now, maybe, which is holding up the hostage deal. Now we're going to roll out new missiles. And by the way, we also heard the CIA director last week out in Aspen tell us that the Russians are now involved in helping Iran's missile program. In particular, its Space Launch Vehicle program, which is a cover for an intercontinental ballistic missile program, which they have yet to figure out. But we know DOD has been telling us for years, is their intent, is their goal. The Russians can absolutely put some horsepower into that program. That's a threat to the U.S. homeland, not to Israel, not to the Gulf, not to Europe. So the picture is worsening, right? The threats to maritime traffic in the Gulf. What's going to happen to U.S. forces? We see Russia trying to work with the Iranian proxies in Syria to harass U.S. troops, maybe even get U.S. troops killed. This is all a very concerning picture, and it's all happening behind closed doors. No congressional input, no congressional review. And on the side, as if that's not enough of a shroud of secrecy, we have whatever the heck's going on with Rob Malley, the U.S. special envoy, also shrouded in secrecy. So if I was in the Congress, I would be deeply worried and I would stop being a pundit. I would stop being an observer to history, taking notes. I'd start acting, because that's what Congress's role has been historically, is to step into the breach and legislate. Richard. And they can legislate to stop a lot of this.
Richard Goldberg, Malcolm Honlein, I'm John Patton.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.